Father, we thank you that we can call on your name. And when it's urgent, we can cry out to you and declare that we need you now. We need you now. Not next week, not next month, but we need you right in this moment now. And we can humbly ask you this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the anointing that is in this place. We thank you, God, that you're preparing us and molding us and shaping us, causing us to go higher in our mind and our hearts and in our soul, calling us into the kingdom, setting us apart, sanctifying us, burning away those things that continue to trip us up and to keep us from serving you from our entire being, or with our entire being. God, we call on you in this moment and we say that we need you now. Yeah, now.
Yes,
now. Now, God. We're asking you, God, now.
Jesus.
Move now.
Yes.
Deliver now.
Yes.
Heal now, God. We're asking, God. We can't make you do anything, but we're asking now, God, that you take over, Lord. Take over, God. Now, please. We surrender now. We bow down now. We praise your name now. We reverence your spirit now. We thank you right now. We praise you, Lord. Hey, we praise you, Lord. So have your way, God. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, God. Have your way, God, in this moment now. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, God. Right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Come on, put your hands together and praise him. We need him now. I want to thank God for his grace and his mercy. I want to thank him for his power and his might. I want to thank him for his hand and his touch. And I want to thank him for all that he's doing now. I thank God for Lady Sheila. Bless you. Lady Sheila, God bless you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. When God opens those doors, just look back. Leave them where they are. Amen. 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 I want to send a prayer out for Deb and Sister Maxine and those who are infirm. I want to thank God that Uncle Mo is here with us today. Yeah. Somebody's going to hear this in Omaha and say, who's Uncle Mo? Amen. Amen. But he's here today, person in Omaha. Amen. Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Let's look at Matthew chapter 1. Put our hands together for Chris. He's playing so beautifully today. Amen. The spirit is connecting and the flow is connecting.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that. Mm-hmm. Matthew chapter 1. Verse 18. When you have it, please say amen. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Turn with me to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Let us look at verses 13 through 16. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. Please say amen. For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. This is the reading of the Word of God. Thanks be to God. I'll be speaking to you today from the subject, A Unique Divine Assignment. A Unique Divine Assignment. I want you to hear me. Never turn away from the opportunity to be used by God for a specific and unique divine assignment. Never turn away from the opportunity to be used by God for a specific and unique divine assignment. For it is within your divine assignment that you will find purpose. It is within your divine assignment that you will see the hand of God on your life. It is within your divine assignment that the favor of the Lord will be upon your life. Every child of God has a purpose. Every child of God has a purpose. Every child of God has at one time or another been given a task or an assignment from God. If you're a child of God, you have at one time or another been given an assignment or a task by God. And every child of God is unique. Every child of God is unique. You know, I think about my grandmother Carmichael in the South, my dad's mom, and she's in heaven now, and it would seem as if her life was not relevant. It would seem mundane. You know, she raised her children and she went to the same job as a cafeteria, a worker for year after year after year after year. the same thing. But I know her to be a child of God, and I know her to be a woman of God, and I know that she had a purpose and an assignment in her life. See, your assignment from God does not have to be large, or it does not have to bring you fame. It does not have to bring you wealth. Your assignment and your task for God is only about purpose. And as I talked to my grandmother before she went on to heaven and I asked her questions, I gave her a little interview because the Lord showed me that she wouldn't be with us much longer. I asked her questions that I always wanted to ask her. And as I asked her these questions, I realized that she had a unique divine assignment of working with the children as a school cafeteria. You and I may never read about or know, but you'll hear today from this word. We may never know of the young ladies that she talked to and said, don't go this way, but go that way. We'll never know if she was putting string beans on the plate of the young men that she talked to and spoke into their life. We'll never know of the countless high school students or the countless students that she met in school that she spoke a word of encouragement, and then they went on to do great things in their life, or they went on to be a teacher, or they went on to be a doctor or a better husband or a better wife. We'll never know, but I'm telling you that this woman of God had a divine purpose, a unique divine assignment. We all have a unique divine assignment. We're all unique and we're all children of God. King David says it like this in Psalm 139, verse 13. For you have formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearlessly and wonderfully made. In other words, what King David was saying, you made me unique. You formed my inward parts. You made my heart. You gave me my mind. You formed me while I was in my mother's womb. You had your hand upon me. You gave me this heart. Anybody ever dislike their heart? Anybody ever say, why am I so giving? And why am I so loving? And why do I put up with this? And why do I put up with that? God made your heart that way. He formed you in the inward parts and covered you in your mother's womb. He made you uniquely. That's what King David is saying in this psalm. And it goes on to say, I will praise you, for I am fearlessly and wonderfully made. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you've been through. If you are a child of God, you are unique and you are fearlessly and wonderfully made by God. Verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Verse 16, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me when there was yet none. Lord have mercy. If you ever get a chance, just read those verses right there and meditate on those. In other words, God made your inward parts, such as your mind and heart, breathe life into you, covered you as you waited patiently to come to earth and walk within days that had already been predestined and fashioned for you. Days that were not even formed yet. While you were yet in your mother womb, he fashioned for you days that did not exist yet, but God had a plan and a purpose for you when you were in the womb and you made it. Many didn't make it, but you made it. And since you made it, you have a purpose. And then you were born. And someone told you that you were black, and someone told you that you were white, and someone told you that you were gay, and someone told you that you were straight, and someone told you that you were rich, and someone told you that you were poor. That's what the world whispers to us. But God knew that you were fearlessly and wonderfully made. He did not know anything other than that. The world told you all these different things about you. But God, when he formed you in the womb, in the secret place, in the lowest parts of the earth, which is a metaphor for the womb, he secretly made you unique. God whispered a divine assignment in your ear when you were yet in your mother's womb. Divine, a unique divine assignment. God says in Jeremiah 1 and 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I knew you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I set you apart. Lord have mercy, do you hear that? When you were yet in your mother's womb and God formed you, He knew you. He knew you. And then He sanctified you and set you apart. He had a plan designed for you before you got here. He touched you in the womb and gave you unique skills and unique mind and a unique heart. He gave you something to prepare you and help assist you in your divine assignment while you were yet in the womb. And He goes on to say, I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. That's what He tells Jeremiah. He tells the prophet Jeremiah, I appointed you in the womb to be a prophet unto the nations. I gave you all the skills that you know, all the skills that you need. He says, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. And look what Jeremiah says. Oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you. That's your divine assignment. Do not be afraid of their faces. That I prepared you, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Can you imagine a conversation like that with God? Where He affirms and confirms your calling and your unique divine assignment. He whispered it to you and me in the womb. You know, I remember when I was in North Carolina and with my auntie, and the entire house was looking for me. I was 2 years old, I think, and they were all looking all over the house. It wasn't like it was some big mansion. It seemed like a big mansion to me then, but they were looking for me, and my aunt found me in the room, in the dark. And she turned on the light, and I was standing there in the middle of the floor, and she said, What in the world are you doing in here? And she tells me this story. What in the world are you doing in here in the dark? And I think I was like one or two. And I said, I'm talking to God. I'm talking to God. I'm just talking to God. And she tells me that story all the time. And in my baptized, sanctified mind, imagination, I just believed that God was telling me something that I could not maintain on a conscious level, that I could not receive or remember, that I heard it on a certain level. But as I went on with life and people told me about myself and I was black and you're this person's son and you're this and you're that, that somehow on a conscious level, I forgot the marching orders and the divine unique assignment that God had imparted to me in the womb and called me in that dark room and tried to impart to me again. That was my unique divine assignment. He's speaking to you. You know, besides from being formed and designed by the hand of God for this assignment, timing is so important. Timing is everything. You know, I was listening to some activists on the radio the other day, and they were talking about all the injustices in the world and all these different things. And that's okay, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm into that. Jesus was fought against injustice as well. And as I was listening to them talk and speak about these different things, I felt like they were trying to recreate. They kept referencing Dr. King and the Civil Rights Movement. They were referencing that. And I could see them trying to kind of emulate that or imitate that or recreate that again. But that time is gone. You can do things for injustice. You can help. But it will never be that type of divine, unique assignment that was given to Dr. King. You and I, we may never see that again. Yes, we should help those who are suffering injustice. Yes, we should fight for those that can't fight for themselves. Yes, we should speak out against injustice in the world and in our communities. But you will never, ever see that type of anointing and that type of movement and that type of power that was on Dr. King, because that unique divine assignment, Yvette, was for a specific time. There's timing for your unique divine assignment. You must find out what it is. You must find what that assignment is for you. It's not about your time, it's not about my time, but it is about the set kairotic, kairos time of God. Kairos is the set appointed time of God. The book of Ecclesiastes says it like this: to everything there is a purpose. To every purpose in heaven there is a season. There's a season to every purpose in heaven. There's a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck out. Timing is everything. Know the seasons and the times of your life. Don't go too soon and don't stay too long and don't linger over here. But know what time and season you are within your life. Know when it's time to sit down or when it's time to stand up. When it's time to grab the mic and sing or when it's time to put the mic down and be quiet. Know when it's time to run and when it's time to do, to know the seasons of your life. Yes. Know when it's time to embrace and it's time to let go. Yes. Know when it's time to embrace and it's time to let go. There's a timing is everything for your unique divine assignment. Moses was 80 years old. He was 80 years old when he received his unique divine assignment from God. He was 80 years old. Most preachers don't like that because they say, I got to wait to 80. But he was 80 years old. You know, there's a process to everything, and it's about God's time. It's not about our time. You know, I met a gentleman. I was doing a radio show in Harlem for my book. And another gentleman was there waiting to speak after he has a book. And I was listening, I was talking to him, and he just has such a great personality and a great spirit. And he had written a book called Click. And this book was about business meetings and even church meetings. Whenever you're connecting with someone, there has to be a click. Lord have mercy. You know how people say, we just click. We just click. Well, his book propose that anytime you connect with someone on a higher level or for a purpose of business or spirituality or any kind of connection, there has to be a click, and you should absolutely embrace that click. It's for a reason. It's for a reason, that click. It's not a carnal click, Lord have mercy. It is a divine click. It is your spirit leaping and touching someone else's spirit. Amen? Amen. Amen. So this gentleman began to talk about his book, and he said that this was his first book. And did you know this elegant man was almost 70 years old, and he had so much fire and passion and excitement because he was now in the set kairotic time of God. It was his time to go forward. It was his time to shine. It was his time to be on the radio. It was his time to do his thing. It was his time to talk about Click. It was his time to be on the bestseller list. It was his time and his purpose. You must be in the set kairotic time of God. So,
yes.
Are you going to receive your divine assignment from God? You may not be on the Apollo, but it still is a divine assignment. You may not be preaching to 10 million people, but it still is a divine assignment. You may not be wealthy like Bill Gates, but it still is a divine assignment. It may not be many people there to pat you on your back and tell you how great you are, but it still is a divine assignment. It's a divine assignment. So are you ready to embrace your divine assignment? Your divine assignment.
Yes.
Joseph had a divine assignment. Yeah, Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus. Lord knows he had a unique divine assignment. Lord have mercy, did that man have a unique divine assignment? I mean, he was given the task and the assignment to marry a woman that he was betrothed to. And when you're betrothed to someone in those days, it's likely that you're married, except there is no sexual relationship. He was betrothed to this woman, and Lord have mercy, she was pregnant. His bride to be, his wife to be, was pregnant.
When he went to buy the engagement ring, and when he was going to give her the engagement ring, he should have bought some Pampers and a bottle with him as well. She was pregnant. And the Bible goes on to say that he wanted to put her away. He wanted to put her away. He wanted to get rid of her. He wanted to move on. He wanted to move on. Now, verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. You know, I just want to say this before we go on and preach these points. Why does God do this? Why does he allow a stain like that to go out throughout history? You do know there are some religious people, there are some people of the Jewish faith that say, oh, you worship Jesus, the illegitimate son of Mary. you do know that. Not all Jews, not all Jewish people, but some say that. Why would God allow such a stain to be on this Holy Mother of Mary, as some religions call her? Why? Why wouldn't he just make this story perfect? Why wouldn't he allow Joseph to come from a good background and Mary to come from a good background, and they get together, they go to Hawaii for their honeymoon, and then they do all these different great things, and then the baby comes and everybody comes, and then there's a baby shower and all these great things occur? But no, he didn't let it go down like that. There was suspicion. A historical suspicion that would go on for eternity. I'll tell you why he does that. One reason why God will do that, while he will allow an ex-heroin user to preach, and while he will allow somebody that just got out of prison to serve in church, and while he will allow somebody that had five babies to stand up and be a church mother now in her later year. Why God does that so he can get the glory. It's not you, Pastor, but it's me. I get the glory. It's not you, worship leader. It's me. I get the glory.
That's right.
It's not you, deacon. It's not you. You don't really belong here to do that. But because of me, you're going to do it, and I will get the glory.
Yes.
That is why God uses the castaway. That is why God will use the imperfect. That's why God will use those who have a stain on their life. So when it's done, and when the cameras are rolling, and when the radio is on, and when the things are done, and the books are being published, and the business is being lifted up, and God is moving mightily, you can say, Pastor Carmichael, how did you become the pastor of It Is Well Living Church? Nothing but the grace of God. That's why we can't judge people. Joseph's assignment was to father Jesus and marry his mother, all for the glory of God. Is this helping you all today? All for the glory of God. That's why God called you for his glory. That's why God is raising you up for his glory. That's why God allows you to go through that so he could get the glory. That's why God touched your life.
Thank you, Jesus.
And set you in this kairotic time so he can get the glory out of your life. Don't sit on your testimony. Tell your testimony. Don't try to front like you have it all together. Tell how God made a way for you out of no way. Don't try to act like your marriage was always perfect. Tell it that my marriage wasn't always perfect. Don't try to act like you had it all together. Don't bring that churchy mess over here. I'm telling you right now, act like it's all for the glory of God. 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 We're about to leave. Your unique divine assignment will, one, make you uncomfortable. I want you to write that down. Your unique divine assignment will make you at times, at first, initially, I left that out, will initially make you uncomfortable. Joseph was uncomfortable with the thought of marrying a woman with a child. You know, somebody's called to this church. That's why I don't get caught up when people sing and come and play. I know God's going to work it all out for me. I know He's going to work it all out. I know. Because there's somebody that's called to sing here. There's somebody that's called to play here. It doesn't matter if we have 10,000 people, 20,000 people, 5 people, 8 people. There's somebody that's called to be here. Somebody that's called to serve as a deacon. Somebody that's called to be an usher. That's somebody that's called to help. God is going to do it. He's doing it already. And if that's you, if God is calling you, I want you to get past that uncomfortable feeling and embrace your unique divine assignment. Amen. Your unique divine assignment will make you uncomfortable at first, initially. But don't let that deter you. Don't let that deter you. Your unique divine assignment, secondly, is carried out through your uniqueness. Your unique divine assignment is carried out through your uniqueness. God made you to be who you are. Be yourself. Serve like how you serve. Preach like how you preach. Sing like how God has called you to sing. Work like how God has called you to work. It's for your uniqueness. Joseph was hand chosen by God to stay in touch and in tune with this woman. Look at verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. Lord have mercy. Being a just man. The only way that Joseph could marry a woman who was already with child at that time was that he was a just man. He was a just man. He couldn't put Mary away. God knew that when he chose him to be the stepfather of Jesus. I'm telling you today, your unique divine assignment is based on your uniqueness. No one can pray like how you pray. No one can go to that prison like how you can go to that prison. No one can talk to those young girls who are having these children before they're 15 like you can. Nobody can talk about domestic violence and help people to get out of it. Help people get away from domestic violence like you can. Nobody can tell someone how to be married for 54 years. That you're going to go through things up and down. No one can tell you like you. No one can tell you. You're unique. Joseph was a just man, the Bible says. Your unique divine assignment, one, will initially make you uncomfortable. Yeah. You know, we had somebody come to this church and they said all they wanted to do was sit down. They didn't want to do all the stuff that it takes to start a ministry. And it made them uncomfortable to be here. You know, some people don't come here because this makes them uncomfortable. Pastor can call you at any moment. Pastor can say, how you doing today? Amen. Uncomfortable. Your unique divine assignment, one, is carried out through your uniqueness. Be who you are. You're fearlessly and wonderfully made. God made you. God made you who you are. Please stand with me as we prepare to leave. Your unique divine assignment, thirdly, creates purpose. Your unique divine assignment creates purpose.